season or crisis to hear from God. Remember? And we looked at, one of the stories we looked at is after Jesus' death and resurrection, when he blessed the fishing and they caught a whole lot of fish after they had fished all night. So we're starting today. Excuse me a minute, my allergies are acting up this morning. So today we're going to actually look at the first time that happened. The same very similar thing happened two times. But we're looking at it for a whole different reason today. So this time Jesus is teaching a crowd of people and he's near the lake and the crowd kept pressing and pressing toward him. And so he's backing up and he's backing up and he realizes if he goes any further, he's going to be standing in the lake. So he says to the two fishermen who again had been out all night, "Can I get in your boat and teach from your boat?" So he steps in their boat and pushes out a little ways from the land, and then he teaches from there. So when he's done teaching, he says to Peter, "Go out into the deep water and put down your nets." And Peter said, "We fished all night, and we didn't catch anything." Again, nothing. Didn't catch anything. So they go out, and they throw in their nets. And the nets, this time, are so full of fish that they start to rip. And they actually load up both boats with fish, and the boats start to sink. That's a lot of fish. And they had been fishing all night. And so Peter, at that point, realizes, wait a minute. So this is way back at the beginning of the story. He realizes for the first time, this is not just a rabbi. This is not just a good teacher. Rabbis cannot make us catch so many fish that two boats are about to sink. So he falls on his knees and he says, "Lord, I'm a sinner." So what does Jesus say? Does Jesus say, "Yeah, you are. If you don't get your life right, you're going to hell"? Is that what Jesus said? I don't think so. When they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. What? They left everything and followed him. So what I want us to talk about today and think about and look at is, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Did you ever play follow the leader as a kid? You know, you go wherever the leader goes, and you do whatever the leader is doing. I think it's sort of comical nowadays. I mean, I've been helping to keep my grandkids for 10 years now, which I can hardly believe, since Aiden was just a couple months old. And I've gone to events at their schools and that kind of stuff. And, you know, they want everyone to feel like they have value and that they're important. So when they line up, like they're going to go out to recess. So Sharon knows this. You know, they're getting ready to go out. So they have a front leader, and then they have a back leader. Now, you know, I don't know how you lead from the back, but the back leader has the job of making sure everybody in front of him is still moving forward. So today, we're talking about Jesus is the front leader. So that means we're following Jesus. We aren't the front leader. So following Jesus means that we leave everything. It says they left everything and followed him. That means we leave our comfort level. We leave our own plans. We leave our own preferences. We leave our likes and dislikes. And we leave our prejudices. Matthew 4. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. Okay, Matthew 4:18. So here we are back at the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter. Okay? So we were just talking about Peter. And Andrew, his brother. So Peter and Andrew were brothers, and their father has a fishing business, and they were working with their father in fishing. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers. Okay? This is James and John. Their father also had a fishing business. Their father's name was Zebedee. They were in the boat with their father mending their nets. He called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now think about what they were doing when Jesus called them. They were doing what they knew how to do. They were doing what they were trained to do and had been raised since they were little boys as part of the family business. It was their trade. It was their source of income. It was the lifestyle they were comfortable with. They knew what every morning was going to look like. You got up, you got your bait, you cleaned your nets, you went out in the boat. They knew what every afternoon would look like. Every evening, hopefully, they would be bringing in their catch. They knew most of the people and situations that they would see every day. Their lives were fairly predictable. Then Jesus shows up. He tells them that he can and that he wants to dramatically change their lives and their lifestyle. He promised to change them, to remake them from fishermen to fishers of men. Is that a big change? Yeah? Everything they were comfortable with, everything they knew, was about to change. In the next couple of verses, we're given an idea, a summary, a snapshot of what following Jesus would look like. And it starts out by saying, in verse 23, Jesus traveled throughout the region. Up until this point, their lifestyle consisted in their house and their village. They basically got up, went to the lake fishing, and came home. Now, all of a sudden, they were going to encounter different cultures, and different lifestyles. They were going to be going out of the area that they were used to seeing every day. So for many of us, that would look like going to Harrisburg for the day. I mean, we're leaving farm town Newville and what we're used to, and we're going downtown Harrisburg. Pastor Kurt's been doing that for years. He parks in an alley, walks into an office building, he eats in Restaurant Row. That's completely different than what most of us are used to. They were going to be having new experiences. They were going to be seeing new things. Do you think that was comfortable to them? You think that was easy? It's a big change to be used to a fishing village and now you go to Jerusalem or other places like that. Everybody you saw during the day looked familiar to you because you grew up in that little village and most of them bought fish from you. Now you are going to be seeing people who look different, talk different, act different, smell different, dress different. Come on. So it starts out by saying Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. okay, well, they were used to that some. But if the fish were biting Saturday morning, Marlin, where do you think they were? They were fishing. Those good old boys were not in the synagogue. They sent the wife and the kids. They went fishing. And Jesus, come on, Jesus went to the synagogue throughout the week. What's with that? Church during the week? Yeah. New experiences. Then it said that Jesus was proclaiming the gospel. That means announcing the good news of the kingdom. So, it's called good news. But was everybody excited to hear this good news that Jesus had to share? Now remember, you're a follower of Jesus. So you're going where he's going. So Jesus goes into this village, and everybody is just excited to hear the gospel, right? Have you read your Bible lately? How about the church people, the religious people? Well, they should have been excited. This was news about God, good news about God, that he loved them. Yeah, not so much. The leaders told Jesus that he was partnering with the head demon. And when he healed someone on the Sabbath, it says they were filled with rage and discussed how to get rid of him. Yeah, the religious community was just excited about that good news, weren't they? So at least if the religious people weren't excited to hear what you had to say, you know, because it is difficult when you share with church people because they say, well, I was raised in the church. You know, my parents were on the cradle roll at this church. Heard that. And so at least if those people aren't going to receive your message, certainly your friends and neighbors. You don't know what that means? So being on the cradle roll means that your parents were brought there by your grandparents when they were babies. And so they were signed in the nursery since then. That used to be called the cradle roll. See, I'm going back to my denominational days. See? Yep. And we got stars, and then we were told whether or not we missed any weeks, and so we didn't have a perfect attendance in our book with stars. Yep, and we didn't get our Sunday school pin that year. So, at least if they didn't accept the message, your friends and family and neighbors would accept the message, right? Anybody remember reading that story lately? So it says, Jesus returns to his hometown, Nazareth. After talking to them in the synagogue, in verse 24, Jesus said, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. Some of the other gospels, it says, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. So Jesus went back and tried to talk to all his friends and family and neighbors. And they're like, we know you. You're the carpenter's son. Who do you think you are to say that God's with you and God wants to do miracles through you? In verse 28 through 30, it says, and all in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. Come on, these people you grew up with, they rose up and cast him out of the city and led him to the cliff to throw him off. Yay, they just loved the gospel message. He passed through their midst and went on his way. So, following Jesus can be challenging. People may not welcome what you have to say. They may not consider the good news good news. But remember, Jesus has said to you and to me, follow me. So that means we go where he's working. That means we join him in whatever he's doing, and we say what he is saying. Right? Isn't that what follow me means? You go where he's working, you join him in doing what he's doing, and you say what he is saying. So if Pastor Kurt says, I'm going to have an outreach today in Philadelphia, who wants to come along? If you agree to follow him, you go to Philadelphia because that's where he's going. If he's saying, we're going to throw cans of corn to the crowd, then you're going to get cans of corn and you're going to be throwing them into the crowd. Okay? But it might be accepted just as well as what we read, right? Or better. So you go where Jesus is working, you do what Jesus is doing, and if we're throwing the corn and saying, Jesus loves you, be blessed, then you say what your leader is saying. Okay. All right, let's, instead of cans of corn, how about bags of frozen green beans? You like that better, Steph? Okay, we're throwing bags of frozen green beans. So what a privilege it is. Just think about that. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the way, the truth, and the life, the great shepherd, says to you and to me, follow me, go where I'm working, and I will let you partner with me to do what I'm doing. Now, come on, did he have to do that? He asks us and invites us and gives us the privilege of following him. That's pretty exciting. So what else did Jesus do? We can't obviously look at everything, so I just picked three or four examples. One day he went into Samaria. Why would you go to Samaria? Jews hated them, and they hated the Jews. It was a long-standing feud. You believe this about God, I don't agree with that. You worship God this way, I don't agree with that. You accuse us of being mixed race, we don't appreciate that. So you didn't talk with the Samaritan, you didn't go to Samaria, but Jesus tells his followers, I'm going to Samaria. So where did the followers go? Samaria. I bet you they were just thrilled. Because your whole life you were told, don't trust those Samaritans. Don't talk to those Samaritans. If they have a chance, they'll stab you in the back. They're heathen. They don't believe in the same God we believe in. Don't go there. Where's Jesus go? That's right where he goes. And no insult, ladies, because we don't live in that culture. But back then, women were considered lower than men. Almost same level as a slave or a servant. And so men didn't talk to women. Okay? Women talked to their husbands, and that was it. And the men did all the business and the trading and brought home the food and did all that. The women, they went for water. They were allowed to go and get water out at the well. So this woman had a reason to go in the middle of the day. She didn't want to hear what the other women had to say about her. And it says, Jesus went up and talked to her. And his disciples were like, what is he doing? Jack, that's a woman in Samaria. Did Jesus lose a couple of his marbles? You know, do I need to correct Jesus? Have you ever thought that? I tried that one time. It does not work. I said, Jesus, I don't think you know what you're doing. And as soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought, how could you even think that, right? So that's probably what they thought. You're talking to a Samaritan woman. Can you imagine what the church people are going to say? There's some people in Pastor Bob's church, you know, our church that we're friends with in Delaware, the House of Praise. they regularly go into bars and pubs and not nightclubs. I don't even know what you call them because I don't go to those kind of places where Rob's son plays in band, or whatever that's called. And they sit around and they witness to people. Well, other people of the church don't really think they should do that because you're fellowshipping with sinners. Who was Jesus fellowshipping with most of the time? Because the church people rejected him. So here he is. He talks to this woman. You know the story. He tells her everything she'd been doing. He's not saying he's happy about it, but he also doesn't condemn or judge her. And he says to her, I have living water to give you. If you're willing to change your lifestyle, I have living water to give you. So she goes back into the town. Now think about this. A woman who men don't want to hear from. And she tells the men, hey. Now she doesn't tell them she thinks this. She asked them a question. So she did pretty good. She didn't say, hey, the Messiah's out at the well. She said, hey, guys, is it possible that the man I met out there who just told me my whole lifestyle, could he be the Messiah? And, of course, the men said, well, we'll go check it out. So the men went and checked it out, and it said a number of people believed in Jesus because of what she told them. She was the first evangelist. A Samaritan woman. Come on. And she's also one of the first people that Jesus revealed himself to, who he really was. So right away, he changed the cultural norm of how to treat a woman and how much value a woman has. He's like, yeah, we're not putting up with this nonsense. We're changing it. And then it said he stayed 2 days there. No wonder that guy got in trouble. He was doing all kinds of things he wasn't supposed to be doing. And he stayed in the Samaritan village. It's one thing to pass through. You didn't even do that. It said they, most Jews would go a two-day journey longer than they had to just to avoid going through Samaria. Yeah. So that's like you want to go to Harrisburg, but you get there somehow without going through Carlisle. Any of the routes that go through Carlisle. Okay, well, have fun with that one. You can go to Dillsburg and up the back way. And yeah. So then it said even more believed because of what Jesus himself said. But what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? Jesus came knowing John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent, and of course it was Jesus that he sent. So if he so loved the world, then that means Jesus came with his message for every culture, every lifestyle. He didn't limit it, but we limit it, don't we? We look at somebody living a certain lifestyle or living in a certain culture and we say, yeah, not going to share Jesus with them. First of all, they might respond better than the people you normally share him with. Because a lot of them know they need something. The religious leaders said, hey, we tithe. We bring a tenth of our garden to the church. Our lifestyle's terrible, but you know we follow the letter of the law. We don't need Savior, but a lot of other people know that they need something. It means that Jesus came for every nation, every culture, every social class, okay, I'm going to step on toes, every political party. All right, so back to where we started. In Matthew 4, 23. Matthew 4:23. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and, so we want to catch the "and" here before we close, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. So if we're a follower of Jesus and we're to do what Jesus is doing, partner with him and say what he's saying, then the expectation is that we'll be doing that same thing. And I'll prove that to you in just a minute from something Jesus himself said. And news about him spread through all Syria. And they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. That's where his followers went, because that's where he went. And Jesus himself said, "He who believes in me, he who believes in me." Okay, if this is a qualifying, okay? So if you do this, then it means this. He says, those who believe in me. How many here this morning are going to raise your hand? I'm pretty sure that it's 99.9% of us. We believe in Jesus. So Jesus said, he who believes in me will do the same works that I do. See? Now you can't doubt that, can you? And then this is the one that blows my mind. An even greater work. We're not even sure what that means. We're not sure what is greater than all those things that Jesus did. But I'm ready to see some of that. I want to see some of the same things, and I want to see some greater things. And I guess one of those examples is in some of these revivals, whole towns turned to Jesus. When he went to villages, we don't have any examples that the whole village, Samaria, some did. Other places he went, some did. But back in some of the revivals, 40s, right? Like up in New York, wasn't that in the 40s? Where some of these famous evangelists went into towns, they would be preaching in church and people in the bars would get convicted. And they would leave the bars without anybody saying to them, drive to the church and run to the altar. And in some towns, the police sat around with nothing to do because the whole town was saved and there wasn't any crime. Come on. Yes. Yes. Revive us again. So we have a choice. We can decide if we're going to follow Jesus or not. And when I was praying at early morning prayer, I mean, it's nice when the Lord makes it current and makes it today. I heard the Lord say that some of us decided to follow him 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I decided to be a follower of Jesus when I was 17 and a junior in high school. That's more years than I want to admit to. That's more than the 30. That we made a decision to follow Jesus, but at some point along the way, we stopped following him. I don't mean that we stopped believing. I don't mean that we lost our salvation. But I think some in our church and some in every church stopped going where Jesus is going and doing what he's doing. Because we become comfortable, just like those fishermen. We know what every morning's going to look like, what every afternoon's going to look like, whatever evening, every evening is going to look like. And we stop saying, Jesus, what are you doing today? Where are you working today? How can I partner with you today? And so we've gotten comfortable. So I feel like before we do communion, that we're to listen to a song and that he's asking us. He's going to come to each of us and say, will you surrender and follow me again? And that means going where I'm working and joining me in what I'm doing. That doesn't mean packing up and going to Africa. That just means you ask him each day. Are you working at Giant? Because I'm heading there. What are you doing at Giant while I'm there? And how can I join you while I'm there? Those kind of questions. He might tell you, go over to the Dream Center on a Saturday and join them. Help out at Project Share, whatever it might be. And so I feel like we need to respond. So for you, if that's standing, sitting, kneeling, whatever that looks like.